Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, January 18th, and this is after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Of course, Aaron Green is with me, and our discussion today is going to be about bees. Yeah, bees. You know the ones that go bzzz. I have a graphic artist who's actually a beekeeper, and I said, there's no one who job is to keep bees. That's decorate. I mean, you do that on the side, right? You know, you keep bees. In fact, he even wrote a book about bees. And I said, really, nobody's going to be interested in reading about bees. He said, no, it's like a novel book about a beekeeper, his life journey, his struggles, overcoming. Bohemian-based book. I said, man, you're an author? He said, yeah, I write books. It's a whole book. Bestseller book, people buying the book. And I said, about bees? And he said, yeah, about bees. So anyway, he brought the book. He brought the book and actually going to be doing a gift giveaway. And the question today is, I'm not going to put that question in yet, right? But you can have a chance to get this book, which is Bee Land the Streaker.
Correct.
Bee Land Streaker. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce Jermaine Farrington. Graphic designer. I'm bringing the mic a little closer to you. And let's start off with you in terms of who is Jermaine Farrington?
Pleasant good morning, everyone. Like you said, my name is Jermaine Farrington. I've been a graphic artist for over 2 decades, as well as a beekeeper. And I guess beekeeping what started off as a hobby became part of my character and part of my lifestyle. And based on this theme book here, one day I just happened to end up seeing a dead bee. It looked familiar, and that was it. Then I went inside and started typing, and one full year later I came out, and this book is what I got.
So let's talk about just bees. What is a beekeeper? Because just the other day, my sister-in-law, Debbie, had a big bee nest. I mean, it covered the whole back room thing there. Right? And I just didn't know what to call. So me, I said, man, just get the bee going and then spray it. And apparently when I said it, apparently people get vexed. You don't kill bees. I said, but the bee there. Right? And they said, there are people out there who you can call and they remove the bee. I said, in the Bahamas, they exist? So I said, when I came across you and your book, and you said you're a beekeeper, right? And me being, I would say, naive inner city people who say, man, I just need to be moved, and whatever it takes, I can remove this bee. I want to know information on what should happen if I come across a bee nest. We call it hiving. If I come across a beehive, what is the steps? How do I contact somebody, and what do they come and do?
Okay, well, it's an industry that has developed fairly quickly. If you don't mind, I'd just like to give a few shout outs to a few older beekeepers that I met in the game. If I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. One of them is Mr. Kirk Burrows from Kent Island. He's an awesome, humble man. I met him in the beekeeping industry, in the beekeeping field when I first came in. Mm-hmm. Next man is Mr. Kirk Delavaux, Kirk Godet. And another man, Last but not least is Mr. Dennis Knowles. Dennis Knowles, he's been around, I think, maybe longer than all of us. He's retired. Mm-hmm. But I something that I feel is maybe just me personally, but sometimes we tend not to give our older folks flowers, the pioneers. We don't give them flowers before they've passed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I really made up my mind to do.
Yeah, because sometimes in our attempt to establish ourselves as experts, we sort of ignore, invisibilize the contributions that others made to our expertise. I just want to put out a quick disclaimer. Any references to Bee or the Beehive have nothing to do with Beyonce.
No. Okay.
Just a cultural disclaimer
yes.
for them young folk out yes. there. They get tricky when you're talking about the Beehive.
So let me ask you, Farrington. The bees took over my sister-in-law's place. What caused that? Because, I mean, it isn't like it was left abandoned. She went in the back one day and found that there's a whole beehive in back there. What caused that?
In the back, like in a tree, in the house?
In like a shed. They took over the whole shed.
The inside or the outside?
Inside, outside. They gone all through the crevices and thing. They own the shed.
I got you.
Well, a few things. Bees tend to look for places that are undisturbed and places that have a lot of plants, pollen. So any yard that has like a lot of flowers and fruit trees, bees is like your yard is almost conducive for that habitat or for that environment. And so instead of them flying thousands and thousands of miles away, everything is right there, literally right at their doorstep.
Mm-hmm. What would cause a swarm or a hive? What would cause a hive to move to a new location?
Hurricanes. That's one. If there is not enough foraging, for instance, like pollen,
right, and flowers, right, food source,
right, which goes back to the same thing what you spoke about with why did the bees come to your sister? It's a few contributing factors, like I said, and one of the things that causes them to swarm is if there's a limited food supply,
mm-hmm.
and when the queen, all of the kids are hers, but what she would do is. She would raise out of everyone, she would raise about seven bees out of the thousands. She would raise about seven of them, and she would feed only these seven royal jelly.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've been fed royal jelly, it automatically puts them in the Hall of Fame to be potential queens.
Okay.
The first one that hatches kills her sisters because there's no threat. The mother gives her half of her kingdom, half of the honey supply, and either the mother goes and carries half of the kingdom or the daughter leaves.
So Game of Thrones.
That's one reason why you may see a swarm
overpopulation
come to your location and set up a hive because there's been a new queen has been born and a little tension, but they naturally say, okay, now is the time to separate. Right. And the old queen will be the one to make the move?
In most cases, yes. Yeah. And there are some instances where let's just say that the daughter leaves. She still has a timeline or particular time frame where if she doesn't find a place, she can go back to her mom, you know.
She can go back?
Only for a time frame.
They're sensible.
She has about 2-3 days.
Yeah.
No more than a week. If she goes back beyond that, her mother's going to treat her like an invader because she no longer has the scent of her mom on her.
Mm-hmm.
After those seven hatch, that half of the kingdom goes. But in conjunction to those seven, there are also seven bees from one side on the next side. And this is what they do. Looking for a new home, they don't just come randomly, you know. The queen will send out maybe about six to seven bees.
Like scouts.
Scout bees, but you call them streakers.
Streakers.
Just so, like this book, the yeah. Beeline, the Streaker.
Right.
Okay.
So hence the title of my book,
Beeline the Streaker.
And a streaker is basically someone that brings a message.
Okay.
So now what the streaker is going to do is the streaker is going to go and search around every nook and cranny and find a spot, keeping in mind that same streaker knows how much bees that they have. So right. it's not going to go and find a spot. They still have to move eventually at some point because as soon as the queen reaches, all of those bees that drank up the honey from the first hive, they're now waiting for other bees to come behind, almost like with a mason. Everyone works hand in hand. As soon as they reach that spot, Other bees come, they unload the wax, they start to make up the frames, and other bees that had all of that nectar or honey in their stomach, they spill it back out and they fill back up the comb.
So there's no king bee?
No, there's no king bee.
Just all woman?
No, it's not all woman. It's just no king bee.
Gotta always be a king. There's a queen bee. Okay. Well,
the thing about it is the male bees are just as big as the queen bee. But the queen bee is the only one as big like that that has a stinger. The female bees have stingers. They can sting. When they sting, because their stinger is barbed and it is jagged, when they sting someone, it latches onto them, so it pulls out their abdomen. See me with the male drones when the queen is leaving and she's about to come back and start her own colony. The first thing she does is she flies off. And she mates with about at least 15 male bees in the air, and as each one of them mates with her, its abdomen or its sexual organ drops out, and the next one comes on. So by the time she reaches back, she has enough eggs and semen to last her for a whole lifetime.
Wow, that's a fresh bee.
She hardly ever comes out from there. She would never ever come out.
So wait, does the male bees have stingers?
Male bees are the only bees that do not sting. Just like mosquitoes, male mosquitoes don't bite. It's the female mosquitoes.
We have a woman problem. You see, it's a woman problem,
no,
right?
No, it seems like you all have a man problem. The woman that may have no problem.
But I didn't know that female mosquitoes be female mosquitoes, but be biting me.
No, that's why we tolerate the slurs that y'all use when you're talking about mosquitoes, because we know it's only the women biting.
And there's now, I find that it's woman bees who's be stinging people.
No. Don't say
it. It don't be no man bee.
No. I want you to think of it like this. Only women bees can sting people.
That's what I said.
Bang. Pause, hold that. Only women bees can sting people. And imagine how many people they are not stinging. Roughly how many bees you think there are in the world, sir? A rough estimate.
Trying to ask a situation.
Like 70, let me give a rough estimate. Imagine there are 75 trillion.
Trillion.
There's 75 trillion bees in the world, and half of them are male, right? So let's call it 40 million.
I doubt that.
How many male?
It will never be half male, okay. Half female. It'll always be at least maybe three quarters female,
okay.
Quarter male.
Really?
So it's 80 trillion bees in the world. 60 trillion of them are female, but there's only 7 bee bites a year in the Bahamas.
Bigger, that's right.
I mean,
the point is, we could be biting everybody every day. We could be stinging you all every day. But
you choose not to.
We choose not to.
Let me ask Farrington this. How important is our bees in general for the world, for the Bahamas? How important is bees?
Bees are very, I can't stress it enough. Bees are super important. There's a difference between being spiritual and religious, but I just wanted to show you how deep it runs. They said that God made Adam and Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he placed them in the garden,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He placed them in a garden that had fruits, that had vegetables, that had flowers. Who do you think pollinated those things in the garden? It were the bees. So in a sense, it's like Mother Nature has grass and flowers as its clothing, and the bees are its tailors.
There are hieroglyphs of bees, right? There are documentation of bees in ancient scripture, ancient papyrus, ancient documentation. Bees are the foundation of the ecosystem. Yeah, man, put them on. They're the foundation of the ecosystem. They're very important. Disclaimer, we're not talking about Beyonce and the beehive.
Yeah, thanks for the disclaimer. We have bees, right? It's said that you don't kill the bees. You, even though they might be taking over, have a hive on your house, your goal is not to kill the bees because how important they are to our ecosystem, right? They pollinate all these fruits and vegetables that we have, right? We have an industry now. We have beekeepers who can come and remove that. What's the average price for removing a beehive?
I'm so glad you asked this question because watching new beekeepers come up, they should have been a standard already set a long time ago. And some folks, they've had problems where folks have overpriced them. And no one ever has a problem when you're underpriced. But on the typical, I always tell folks you charge by difficulty, how easy it is to access the hive, and how long the hive has been there. Because you can find some hives that can be almost as high as the ceiling, from the ground to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if it's basically like a one story, prices should be like almost like at a price range. Because if a one story has a roof, I don't want to be too long, but just give you the real point of it. If the typical Bahamian roof is, I think 8x5, the pitch of it. When you find a one story that still has a higher pitch, yeah. you still can't charge the same price for that, because when you're going down on this thing and you have that suit on and your legs start to buckle and start to wobble. So on average, you're looking at maybe $200, $250.
So with $200 ish is the price to remove a typical beehive. Yes. Go ahead.
How much of a typical beehive has honey in it, and how much of that is salvageable or consumable? Because I try to consider, like, if you tell me, okay, it's going to cost me $300 to remove this hive.
Right.
Okay, 300 is a number, but am I going to get some honey?
Yeah, who does the honey belong to when you come into my house, moved my hive, and then...
Should I expect that? Because maybe you come out and you say, oh, Miss Green, it wasn't no honey at all. Are you going to find honey in every single hive?
I'm so glad you asked this question. Because just last year alone, almost every hive that I went in had no honey. And if there is, there's just enough for the bees.
Okay.
See, folks tend to, when they remove bees, you can't take all the honey. You have to give back to the bees.
Yeah.
I got to give honey back to the bees?
Because they need it to continue.
And secondly, it's not yours.
It's not my honey?
You didn't make it. Did you make it?
It's my house.
But suppose the bees drink it and fly away with it. Is it still yours?
Okay.
Are there established rules around that in terms of the industry, right, in honey production? Because bees have no leash.
Right.
And like you say, they have no real owner. They fly miles away. How do bee producers distinguish their product?
Okay. I don't want to get a bit ahead of myself, because you guys had asked the question just now.
How many hives have honey? Yeah, right. This would be asked before.
Right.
And also, who owns the honey?
It was that one right there. So now, if you call the exterminator does not open up. The exterminator just gets the spray and they spray.
Yeah.
They kill it and they say, "Well, have a nice day, sir. Have a nice day, ma'am."
Right.
You would probably have that same problem maybe every spring. The reason being is because they didn't clear out everything. And the wax is still in there. And so since the wax is still in there, when the heat hits it and it starts to melt, it lets out a scent and other bees find it. Now, what you got to understand is that's like thousands of bees flying around just looking for a spot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's the typical thing that would happen.
Now, does the exterminator's process contaminate the hive?
Yes, right off the bat. And I always tell clients, if you wanted the bees dead, you should have called an exterminator from the get-go, but we don't kill bees. And even though you didn't ask, there has been those situations where you may have had to, and the reason was because There were some aggressive bees. Some people use the term Africanized bees. I don't like that term. Right. But bucking up on some of those, they were just a bit too aggressive. And
so you've come across aggressive bees?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
And these bees are like, that's just wild, and you need to do something.
Yeah. They would run you past 2-foot fields.
They don't stop. Non-stop attacking.
And they don't count their numbers. Like a typical, the dorsal bees, They would know how much they can sting until they just stop. After a while, they just start to beat on you. But the aggressive bees, they would just go random. They don't think. They're self-sacrifice. Even though a sting is a self-sacrifice, but they don't give it a second thought in stinging you.
Yes. I have a caller here who wants to engage. Let me do that now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. May I speak with Mr. Farrington, please?
Yeah, he's on. You can talk to him directly.
Good morning. Right, good morning.
Sir. Mr. Farrington.
Yes, sir.
Were you the gentleman who came and did that bee wig for me in God Hill Tree by the pear tree, the root?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did those bees return?
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That would be me.
Okay. Now, I saw some bees came back, but they hang around the outside, like in the front, right?
Yes, sir.
So I spray them, and I haven't seen them since. What I want to know,
go ahead,
you did the job. Would they come back, or they will go to another place?
I'm so glad you asked this question, sir, because I don't know if you remember, but what I did was I gave you a warranty, and this is what upcoming beekeepers are supposed to do.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
I'm sorry, sir. Based on my conversation with you, sir, you and I hope you remember, but I did specify and I gave you a warranty, and this is what beekeepers should do. And what I did was I gave you a 6 months warranty because I respect you. You got to respect the elderly. And so if there are any bees that return, and especially if they're in the same spot, there should not be a question asked. You should be able to just call me and say, "Well, Mr. Farrington, well, guess what? It hasn't been the warranty, and these bees have returned." So if you notice that the bees were there around the light, but they're not there anymore, then there's no reason to be alarmed. But I do encourage folks to walk around your homes. Folks do not walk around their homes. Every so often, try and walk around your homes.
So you have a warranty that where people call back and say 6 months in past the bees returned.
And it's happened before.
Okay, I want to. Right now, we have another caller. Part of caller to Philippine time. In terms of, I paid my $200, $300 for you to remove the beehive.
Yes.
There was some honey, and you told me that some of the honey got to stay with the hive.
Yes.
But do you give me some of the honey?
If the client wants some, because some clients, they just want everything just gone. But if you want some, yes.
Oh, and how do I get it? Do you do squeezing out and say, "Here, see your jar"? How does that happen?
On a typical removal, everything is ready inside comb. Mm-hmm. So we just cut it.
And give you the comb.
And give it. And the reason why we do it like that is because coming in contact with clients, when they, for me to strain that, and the first thing they will say was, "Is this all the honey I get?"
Yes.
And that's the same thing. So
yes.
I just give them the whole big slab. So when they
and
see
let
it,
them do it themselves.
Let them do it themselves. And some folks, they just sit out and they look at it. And they call back maybe a few weeks later. Sir, ma'am, did you guys train out the honey? No, it's still right here, sonny. What to do with it? I said, sir, you asked for it just like that. So what you do is you just cut it up in the cubes if you want to, and you can just suck out the honey and chew up the wax and spit out the wax.
You mean the wax don't give me, I can just bite up the wax just like that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Newey and your guests.
Yes. Yep.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was always being interested in the bee. I have a question for the guys. I finished making a statement because my own encounters with them, right? And so, you know, the bee is very interesting. I was always, the reason why maybe God tell us to really study them, right? So I would notice that the virgin queen bee will never mate with her own drones within the colony. So they're very intelligent. And I'm saying is that it says that when the queen dies, they actually go to certain larvae and help them to turn into queens. So I was trying to find out, is that because they feed them specifically the royal jelly? And how can you differentiate the royal jelly from the normal jelly? Because I always knew about royal jelly, but I can't see the difference within itself, even if I look at the honeycomb. You see? And then this question about this Africanized bees. I think I read some time ago that is actually as a result of them inbreeding or hybridizing the bees, right?
Correct.
Yeah, some experiment. So that's just a result of man.
Correct. Thank you, sir.
Right,
thank you.
Yeah.
A hybrid.
Thank you, 52.
To do.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I have another caller here who wants to engage you. Then we want to talk about this book. And I have a question to ask. I have Aaron ask that question because you brought a book for Aaron. I actually bring a couple of books, but I'm not sure how many books you brought for me to give away. But I definitely have one question to give away, that one book there. And let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, just for me again. I got disconnected.
Go ahead, sir.
I need Mr. Farrington number. I can't hear him. If he gives it to one of you all, can you relay to me, please?
We're going to give you the number right now, but I do have his number. I'm going to let him say it on air so you can hang up right now. And then he's going to say it out loud so you can listen via the radio. So give me
Thank you very much.
Give me 3 seconds delay. And now listen. It's going to give his number. And I'm going to have the producer leave the number with the producer just in case you call back. Go ahead, Farrington.
Yes, sir. The number is 558-2371. That's 558-2371. If not, you can reach me at 429-5340.
429-53-40-40. So this book, Beeline.
One second,
go ahead.
But the 5581, mm-hmm. right? Because the other one, I have issues with that one, but the 5581.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want the email address, I can give that as well.
Just go ahead one time.
Okay, that'd be Jermaine Farrington. That's Jamaine Farrington. FarringtonT.on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this go ahead.
At gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
Aaron asks this question. So the first person call with this answer, right, and can get this book, Beeline the Streaker. And we're going to ask now Jermaine Farrington to explain the book, the story of the book. So in case you want to purchase a book, where can I purchase a book?
The books are at Nassau Stationers.
Books are at Nassau Stationers,
and
right?
And it is a graphic style novel,
right,
including over 100 cinematic scenes drawn in semi-manga form, illustrated by Mr. Jermaine A. Farrington.
Yes, ma'am.
So that means it's pictures instead of the book?
No, it's graphic pictures. It's like a comic novel.
It's a comic novel.
With both prose and comic style panels,
yes,
mm-hmm, throughout the prose.
That's when you get a graphic designer to write a book. You make sure there's graphics inside the book.
Right.
That's also a beekeeper.
And that is also a beekeeper.
Right, and that's I think that's the difference between writing a book and having someone illustrate it.
The
person who writes and illustrates, the illustrations are as prevalent and prominent in the story as the prose.
Okay.
Are we ready for the question?
Do I ask a question?
Here's the question to win a copy of Beeline the Streaker, written and illustrated by Jermaine A. Farrington. Here is the question. How many types of bees produce honey?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Do it one more time.
How many types of bees produce honey?
Because you know, African bees. I mean, let me keep that question. Now go back to the book, Beeline the Streaker. So you call in, you give that answer. Aaron has the answer for that, and you win a copy of that book. Right? We bring one book, right? Just making sure that's what we're doing.
No.
Okay, let me stick with that. Okay, that's good.
Yes.
Then, other than that, you go to Nassau Stationers. You go to Nassau Stationers and buy the book. Does this book...
Miss Bo, Nassau Stationers, sweet lady, Miss Bo.
Miss Bo.
And listen, the images, the boy cutting his eye in the graphic image, just like a Bahamian.
Yeah, look at that.
This guy is really talented.
And especially if you're into graphic novels, right? This is a book to get because the graphics inside is just as important as the narrative. But I want to hear about the narrative. What is this book about? Does it have to do with anything about a beekeeper?
Yes and no. It sounds like that's oxymoron. It sounds like a twist. But the book is, let me just backtrack. The book is a novel, but I got the studies of beekeeping back in the day from the University of Phoenix in Arizona. And it was on bees and the ins and outs. And whilst I was getting this information, I was like, wow. It's like, ain't no way no one's going to be listening to me rant and rave about bees and how fascinating I found them. And so what I did was, the book is a novel based on the backdrop of bees. So as you're reading the novel, you're getting bits and pieces of information in regards to bees. Case in point, the guy, something peculiar happens to him, so he's now trying to research what is happening to himself. And as he's researching what is happening to himself, he's learning certain traits that affect the bee. Someone had asked the question in regards to if the queen has died, do they raise another one? All of those things are explained inside of the book.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Everything is explained inside of the book, so it's not to bore somebody. Whilst I was writing this book, the voice key and the voice said, you know what, my brother, stop writing this book. So nobody reads, especially black people, nobody reads. And folks have this thing that they say, well, you could ask questions or you could ask yourself questions as long as you don't answer yourself. Mm-hmm. But At this age and stage of my life, I think I start to feel that when you stop asking yourself questions and even answering yourself is when you really have the problem. Because sometimes when you're asking and answering yourself, you're getting the solutions. Now, the answers may not come from you directly, but your voice may have been the audio of it. And so that's basically what the book is about. But it's also a health book. on the first two pages, I describe how you can use honey for everything. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the story.
Mm-hmm. Cecil,
I want when more details.
Read from the back of the book, right? It starts, where should one even begin? Learn about the health benefits of honey, mm-hmm. how it helps to treat wounds and can be used as a natural antiseptic, preventing infections and accelerating skin healing. It slows down the aging process, killing free radical cells that help cause cancer. Honey can also be used as a facial treatment to clear the skin and hair conditioners, along with much more. In this educational book, the information given has been thoroughly researched only to give the reader an accurate insight on the attributes of honey and the knowledge to better understand bees and their crucial role in the world's economy. And as a bonus, added bonus, here's an epic tale of part true and fictional story. Farai.
Yes.
Because I won't say Farai, right? But
you can't do it. You know, it's like tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Belen Farai, a talented graphic artist that has a tyrant boss. He's very underpaid, but sticks it out for his family. At least, that's what he thinks. With everything in life, there are lessons to be learned. But it's up to the individual to discern exactly what that lesson is that's being taught. B not only learns hard lessons, but teaches his peers unknowingly as he lives his everyday life. One day while cleaning his yard, he notices a rather peculiar looking bee that seemed to be dead and dried up from the hot sun. Or is it? Is there something more to this dead bee than meets the eye? And there's a lovely review at the bottom. Belen the Streaker is a beautiful story that not only makes for a good read, but deals with real life issues that any race, gender, or believer can relate to. Believe it. It's a wonderful review.
I celebrate any Bohemian who writes.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that you commit yourself to say, I'm going to write, and not just poetry and prose like that, I'm going to write a novel.
Right. And then a mixture.
It should be heralded and celebrated.
A mixture of fact and fiction, right? Like a fictional narrative based in real life experiences.
Correct.
It's wonderful.
Okay, let's go to the caller right now. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, I can hear you loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to find out from the bee gentleman if what's the cost? I think I remember the number. You say 429-5340.
Yes.
Us who might just want like,
hold on,
to
pop,
check around our house
Papa.
With us physically might have a challenge, right? But since he's the professional,
Papa.
What's the cost to come check it out
Papa.
For persons out there who might want, no?
Yeah, Papa.
Yeah.
You have a pen? You have your device to record? You have a device to record?
No, I ain't got no device, man. I got to remember. What you want to give me?
The proper number.
Right.
429-5340?
He realized that's not the best number to call him on.
I told you the next one ain't the best. Go ahead. What is the best one?
558.
558.
2371.
Hello?
Hi. 558.
Uh-huh.
2371.
2371.
Yes.
Check this out. You know the oil what we put on our skin, like what we buy from out there, like cologne, perfume, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like sometimes I don't know if that's wasp or bee or what they, or what kind of fly that is. They attack. I was wondering if he know the reason. I think I have an idea, but he's a professional. He should know. And if he could tell us the price to come just check it out for us, well, some of us who might want him to come check it out.
So
you say 558.
2371.
Say it again, 558-5371.
Two, three. 2371,
thanks.
So this question is not to remove.
You can have them send me a WhatsApp as well. You can WhatsApp me that same number as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang on there. His point is he doesn't want you to remove a beehive per se. He wants you to come there and check out if there is a problem. And for your knowledge, he's visually impaired, right? I assume that he had bees, but he ain't sure, right? But he wants someone to come and check out and say, yes, but you have a bee problem and it's something can come and cause.
And are bees or wasps attracted to or aggravated by some types of colognes?
Yes. Yes. This one is an extra bonus. Sometimes if you have wasps by your front door, your front porch, and you notice the wasp may just swoop down for no reason. the wasp did not come to sting you. It was actually a mosquito that was around you that the wasp was darting down to attack. You just didn't see the mosquito. And I spent so much time in nature that I watched these things happen for years and years and years.
Wow. Now, I make my own lotion, and I use beeswax in the lotion production. And sometimes I'm driving or I'm outside somewhere and bees just come and set on me. They just come and sit on my arm. Is it the beeswax that they're attracted
yes.
to?
Yes, because they do it to me as well.
Wait. So I could squeeze out the honey out of the beeswax and I could use the beeswax for something else?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to turn that away.
No. See, this is why folks have to read the book, because the candles from beeswax, they have no paraffinia in it. So that's the word. That's the right word. What's the right word?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Whatever word is.
Yeah.
Like that's in white candles. It is toxic. The beeswax candles, they purify the air. What happens is whenever we walk, we cause a charge, negative and positive charge, and it causes the pollution inside the air to spark up inside in the sky. So now inside here, like how we was walking this carpet, the air it'll probably be polluted. When you burn the beeswax candle, it neutralizes the toxins in the air, and it pushes it back down to the ground.
Okay.
So all you need to do after that is get your vacuum cleaner and suck it in.
I normally use sage for that.
Any friction will cause the static again, and the pollution. This is why beeswax candles are so good for asthmatic people.
Who knew?
Paraffin.
Paraffin.
Right, paraffin.
Let's get to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA and Aaron and your guests.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
Now, I wanted the honeybee man to ask me, when I'm drinking tea in the morning outside, what attracts the tea to my cup, the main bees to my cup of tea? Like, they swarm in the sugar? And also, is there any bumblebees left in the Bahamas?
Bumblebees are almost like what the old school grand spider. I remember back in the day, we could find them, like you could barely find them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yes, sir, there's still bumblebees, you know. There's still bumblebees, but bumblebees are, they're solo bees. So like, for instance, like how you may end up getting the attention, you may notice a bunch of bees flying. Seeing that bumblebees are solo flyers,
uh-huh.
you would hardly ever notice them unless you're paying attention. Almost like those fluorescent bees uh-huh. that have the funny color.
Right. Now, are they solo livers?
Is there any African bees here?
I would like to say yes, but what is an Africanized bee? Because the caller, when he called in, he said they were a hybrid piece. Or they were actually constructed between the Brazilian and the European, if I'm not mistaken, the Brazilian and the European, and the Africanized bees. But the Africanized bees, they were not aggressive bees. The reason why they chose to infuse all of them was because the Africanized bees, they produced a lot quicker. They produce honey quicker, but the hives are not big. So what they did was they combined that with the European and the Brazilian, and that's where you get this aggravated monster from.
So what attracts the bees to my cup of tea? Because every time
the sugar,
the hot sugar.
Yes, sir. And even if it's not the sugar, let's just say you're not using any sugar, you may check to see if your tea has a fragrance.
Okay, it's a brand. I guess they can smell good. A cup of tea, here comes the bees.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Super scent.
So what all? Oh, go ahead.
I would say bumblebees are solo flyers, but they live in a hive, right? Or they live alone.
Is that the black bee, the bumblebee?
Right.
That's
right.
A black bee?
Right.
The big brown boy.
Okay.
And they can sing you over and over too.
And
they don't lose their...
No, they don't lose their sting.
Did you know that, Aaron? That you get sting one more
time. I ain't never going to get sting by no big bumblebee. I could outrun that big
bee. You're scared of big black bees?
The little small ones. No, I didn't say I was scared. I said I could see it. I could outrun it. The iridescent green bee? Is that what you were talking about?
Right.
How do they get that color? Is that natural or do they eat and drink water that has metal in it?
You know, that one right there, I have to do some more study on that.
Right.
But for the most part, I think that's just like the way that it came out. Now, mind you, everything has a story. For instance, a dog's mother or father had spots. One of the kids made a chemo clean. The next one, he had spots. So it's basically the same way. So like,
my mom and dad had sense. My sister came out with sense. I came out with none.
Yeah.
You get it.
You got skipper generation. Oh, the caller, just about to come to your caller. So call back. Just about to stop the conversation, come to you. So call back. I just have a text or accent. What all do you remove? Just bees? Wasp, what else?
Bees, wasp, I do consultation. Most of the time, it's free in things that I knew how to do. But sometimes, as folks, we just need to let everyone stay in their own lane.
That makes sense. Understand? Yeah, you ain't going to move no aunt, and you have an aunt professional radio.
Right. Yeah. I just know the aunt's professional, and when I send him, I'm going to make sure he's reputable because he's going to represent me.
Okay. We have another caller who wants to engage you. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just me again. Miss Green hang up on me. I was trying to ask a very important question.
No. Okay, go ahead.
You watching on the video stream, A52?
Yeah, I know you sent a text back, but you didn't read it, so I just want to get this in for the public.
Yeah, man. Ain't no thing.
I had removed, a house was destroyed on the side of where the shop is. And so the bees subsequently formed a hive in the pear tree. So one night, there was so much of them, they was in a big bulb. And I went there and I knocked them down with a piece of stick, and they fell all together collectively. But it was in the night. So I'm trying to find out if you can deal with them in the night, if they are totally incapacitated. Because they didn't give me any problem. They dropped to the ground. When I wake up, they were gone. And so that was also a very important question. And then I also see where in the inner city, human activity, believe soda cans. Yeah, I see bees around the garbage tin sucking juice and soda, drinking soda from refined sugar. So how does that affect the constituents of the honey, given that honey has fructose, sucrose, and glucose, which is the only sugar that does that? Listen.
Okay, thank you very much. Get that there. Yes, go ahead.
To answer your question, my brother, okay, you've ever bought honey, and you've heard folks say, well, when I bought the honey, it crystallized, it turned like this hard stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason being is because whoever or wherever they got the honey from, just like the gentleman said, had a lot of sugar in it. Yeah. So it's just like if you were perspiring and the sweat dries on you, it's gonna leave that salt on you.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with the sodas. And on top of that, beekeepers, a lot of commercial beekeepers, they've been feeding their bees sugar water. See, sugar water is used to help start them, but you should not be feeding your bees after they've already established that stuff unless there is a hurricane or something.
Right. Everything is devastated around them.
Right.
Absolutely. Let's go to another caller.
You should feed them honey.
All right, Mr. Farrington, I am enjoying this conversation here. Good morning, Hello. Caller.
Hello?
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Is this Guardian Radio?
It is, ma'am. You are on.
When will Aaron Green be doing the Sand Dollar?
Okay, you're on air right now. We're going to be picking up the trivia again on Tuesday, ma'am.
Oh, it's finished for Thursday?
Yeah, what happened? We got all of the winners on Tuesday. So I do it. If we don't get, if I don't get all six winners on Tuesday, I continue it to Thursday.
You good?
Okay, so I'll listen out for Tuesday.
No, man, listen out tomorrow, listen out on Monday, and listen out on Tuesday.
Oh, Monday and Tuesday.
No, I mean, we can do the trivia on Tuesday, but you should listen every day.
I will.
Thank you very much.
It was very informative.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So continuing the story, right? So this story, the book has parallels to your life, because you were a graphic designer.
Correct.
Right? You are a beekeeper.
Right.
A spiritual person, and you decided to write, right? You decided to write and chronicle and give specific information about the health aspects of bees, and then about the narrative of the storyline, right? Why was it important for you to document all that?
You know, everyone had got credibility when you said you started a business and you brought a business card. People take you serious after that.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, well, call me on this number right here, and this person is joking. When I wrote, I never liked to do things that were easy. Mm-hmm. I always look for hard things. Even in martial arts, I use the nunchucks.
Yeah.
Now I've damaged myself plenty of times, but a typical person's going to pick up a nunchucks and start swinging them like Bruce Lee. And so, ask me the question again, Laura.
Why you decided to write?
Yeah.
Okay, right. And so, I wanted to make sure that something that I had, no one could take away from me. Going back to what I said, folks tend to not give each other their flowers.
Mm-hmm.
No Bahamian, no foreigner can take my flowers from me.
Yeah.
So I did it to substantiate myself.
Yeah.
Good. We have a winner. We're going on a commercial break. The winner is, let's see where that answer going. From the last numbers... That's a long distance phone call. 6811. That's 6811. Or just another person? No, I saw it just now. From 6811. right, from that tech slang. The answer is honeybee. Honeybee is the answer. We're going to make sure that 6811, we're going to text them back with the, let them know how to pick up their book. But the answer is honeybee. There are bumblebees. This, is there anything that's called Kamasaki bee? Kamasaki bee? No, right? Anyway.
Right, so the question was how many types of bees produce honey, and the honeybee is the only type of bee that produces honey.
Carl, I see you, but we're going to take you on the next side of the break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Graham's with me. We have Mr. Jermaine Farrington, who's a beekeeper and author. The book is called, what are they? This book is called Beeland, what?
The Streaker.
And the Streaker is a type of bee that goes out
That's
and...
That's the scout. That's
the scout.
The scout.
Okay.
The reconnaissance man.
We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back, right? Guardian Radio.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hi everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We have somebody on the call right now, so let's patch them through because we have the last 5 minutes. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? We're live with Jermaine Farrington.
52 asked a good question about the bee in the night. If they can't do nothing in the night, he said in the day they was gone. That's a good question. Need to answer.
So do bees become docile at night? Like, I know we watch beekeepers working with bees, and they use smoke.
Right.
To do, like, to tame them, to make them docile so that they could move them easily from one spot to the other. Do bees become more docile at night?
The caller is still there?
No. Okay, but they're listening.
Okay. This is the thing. Yes, bees are more docile at night, but you will still get light up from them at night. What the caller said was that the bees had left someplace and they were on top of a tree, and he knocked the tree, and they dropped. That's the safest time you could ever go around bees. The reason being is because they have no home to protect, so they're not territorial. Before they left the hive, each of them got stocked up on a boatload of honey, so they're full. Mm-hmm. And lastly, the queen is buried deep in the center, so no one is going to be that fool enough to place their hands straight through thousands and thousands of bees. So that's one of the reasons why it may come up sometimes that they may be easy to deal with. Yes, at nights, but even more when they're in swarm mode.
All right. Quick question. I got some juju right here, evidence of the juju. I live in an area where that obviously used to be a juju grove, right? Like a juju orchard.
Right.
Bees are pollinators. Wasps and flies are accidental pollinators.
Right.
Right? Do bees pollinate juju? Why do I see a lot of flies on juju trees and are flies pollinating the juju tree?
I don't know. I think that has to do something with the scent, because the scent is...
The juju
blossoms. When juju blossom, boy, that's a scent I call it an acquired scent.
Yes. Some people can't stand it.
Yeah.
Have one more caller. Let's quickly patch that through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. For quality days, Zach, in the woods along with you and your panel, Nuri.
Yay.
What you say, sweet girl?
Good
morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Farrington.
Yes, sir.
I think you made a mistake. It's the only way you could get two bees on around these. All you have to do is clothe yourself in papers or paper, your face and, you know, your body, you know. You cover your skin with paper, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Brown paper bag or newspaper?
Any kind of paper once it's dry.
Okay. All right. So a technique that people would have used when they didn't have access to beekeeping suits.
Right.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Now, old folk tell me the story. Say, if a wasp or a bee is menacing you, then what you do is you grit your teeth. Stare right at the wasp or the bee, and you grit your teeth, and that bee and wasp will never come back and bother you again. Is that an old wives' tale?
Well, bees be dead, if they sting you.
No, I didn't say sting. They menacing you.
Okay.
Not you want to prevent them from stinging you. They say if you grin and bare your teeth at the wasp or bee, that will prevent them, deter them from messing
with
you.
Sound like an opiate to me.
Yeah, I saw all the folk tales that
I mean, I see the boy.
Question. If I get stung by a bee,
yes.
What should I do from a beehive person, you know?
Well, the first thing I always try and ask folks is to make sure that you're not allergic to bees. If you're not allergic to the bees and a bee sting here and there, it's therapy. It's good for you.
What?
Yeah, it's good for you.
I like how you say here and there.
No, some people use bee stings as pain therapy. Right?
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
I did like not. I got stung and it was just painful.
Mm.
It was no therapy.
Mm. See, what the venom does, because all cancer cells, I don't get too scientific, cancer cells contain something called beta-glucosidase, right? And so when you find white blood cells and the cells that kill free radicals, they look for this thing that's called beta-glucosidase, then they release a bit of cyanide. And so the body produces the cyanide, but just enough to kill those things, not an oversupply.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So we have the last 2 minutes. Let's talk about how to get in contact with you. What's your phone numbers again?
Okay. Once again, my contacts are 558-2371. That's 558-2371.
And you can WhatsApp that number.
And you can WhatsApp that number as well. The email address is Jermaine. That's J-A. That's Ja, not Germ. Even though some germs are good, but Jamaine Farrington.
And
gmail.com.
Do you sell honey?
Yes.
So I can get honey from you?
Yes.
You can. You have an ample supply of honey because you do.
What types of honey? Like, I know some
there's different types of honey.
Some people in Exuma are raising bees in mangroves or near mangroves, and that honey has a earthy, heavy earthy flavor to it. Then you get orange blossom, the bees who go to orange blossoms.
Okay.
Shepherd needle has its own flavor of honey as well.
Okay.
It's like a clover honey and those different ones, right?
Do you have different type of honey?
The honey that I would normally have, like what bees that I raised, their balance is complete. In other words, what I'm saying is I grow a lot of things, so it's full.
A variety of different things,
right. Yeah. I've had honey from coconut growers where the honey tastes a bit like honey. You understand?
I want
a balance. I keep a balance.
Okay. Nice. I didn't know there's different type of honey. I thought it was honey.
There's Manuka honey. Some folks, they say, Manuka honey is the best honey in the world. But once you start to get the no plants and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's good to know.
That's the queen bee calling you now, Mr.
Now, come and milk me.
These women them don't have time for all your man.
I would love to taste a coconut honey or a shepherd needle
or
honey.
Or a guava honey.
Or a guava honey.
Mango honey.
And see if it tastes different.
Or a soursop honey.
Yeah.
If I come back next time, I bring some honey wine.
There's wine from honey?
Yeah.
Mead?
That's what the Vikings made.
Yeah, like mead.
Right, mead. That's what it is.
I can get drunk off that?
No, not you. Me.
No, you. Okay.
You have to wait.
We got to go. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Thank you very much, Jameen Farrington.